Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
If you count up all the geeks in the world, there are probably, well, at least 12, if not more. I mean, I'm maybe 12 million geeks in the entire planet. And many of these geeks happen to like stuff that Microsoft does. And Microsoft does what they can do to keep these geeks well informed with what's going on inside the world of Microsoft, especially if they happen to have one passion in particular. So they call this program, which has been around for years and years and years, the MVP program. And you could say most valuable player. No, not quite. It actually stands for something else, but it's much the same in the same vein. Most valuable professional, most valued professional, whatever you want to say. You're an MVP. You're good. Now you become an MVP. What does that mean with Microsoft? Well, that means you're going to be privy to certain insider information. You've obviously proven that you can help people. You're willing to help people, whether you're active in the Microsoft news groups or if you've got a website with a community and helping people in particular. So I'm an MVP, and it took Microsoft probably about 8 years to figure out that I was really passionate about some of the things that Microsoft did. And I came to the MVP program through Jake, who was a Microsoft Windows Media MVP, I think was his title. And now that became my title, although I'm kind of lost in it because I am so interested in so many things that Microsoft does. And, of course, you know, conversely, there are some things that I'm not so happy about, and I tell them both sides of the story. I mean, you can't have the good without the bad and vice versa. So in being an MVP, you get assigned a lead. And up until recently, both Jake and I had an individual by the name of Andrew Brown as our lead, but he's since moved on to help other MVPs and coordinate other things inside of Microsoft. And we got handed a new, brand spanking new MVP lead, and his name is Tyler Welch.
Hi, how you doing?
And that's Tyler Welch. So this is your official title at Microsoft as an MVP lead.
That's correct.
And was I pretty accurate in trying to encompass exactly what an MVP was?
Yeah, I think you did a good job. We were looking for people like, I guess, myself and like you, Chris, that are passionate about technology. And not only passionate about technology, but also contributing to the community to try to make the community better. And there's various MVPs in various technologies. And I actually cover the Windows Media technology, which you are a member of. And I also cover the Windows Mobile, the Windows Media Center technologies as well.
You see, the coolest thing, I think, of being an MVP is that I get access to early betas, previews. For instance, I saw the Windows Media Player 11 mm-hmm. before it was even alpha code. Like, I want to say pretty much close to a year ago, it seems, or the project that's codenamed Polaris. And this is before anybody had seen it before, and they wanted to get our feedback. They just had a handful of us Windows Media MVPs in the room, Jake, myself, and a couple of others. And it was really neat to see that stuff ahead of time and to be able to bring up issues and headaches that we've had with previous players and get directly to the team that would influence the decisions as the code continued to move forward. I guess it's beyond just saying, hey, I'm an MVP. It's actually being able to contribute my feedback directly to the teams and the product leads that matter most to my particular world.
Yeah, I mean, one of the goals for Microsoft is to really understand the voice of the customer, and what better way to do that than actually bring in and solicit feedback from the people that are in the community using the technology, but are also experts at it, more so than maybe a selected beta tester would be, or even somebody on the product group, because they're actually in a real-world scenario using it and applying that technology.
How does one become an MVP? I mean, is there an official like process? Is there some type of form you fill out, a fax that you have to send in?
No, per se. We actually look for, if you basically applied to become an MVP, there really is no process to do that. You could be nominated mm-hmm. by an existing MVP, and it is a bit of a cultish type club where if you're an MVP and you see somebody that you would think would contribute to the community, you're going to nominate them. And the existing MVPs are very interested in keeping that bar very high and very elite. One of the ways that you can become an MVP, the award is based off of what you've done in the previous year. And so we look at contributions online and offline, specifically around the Microsoft public news groups. So if you're there helping people posting, supporting these end users, we're going to definitely take notice of that, and then we're going to follow that to maybe your blog or what you've done and other contributions. And what we found is these people are typically authors, very passionate, so maybe they have an online community they're involved with, and they also have an offline community. The Boston Pocket PC group is one that comes to mind, and we have several MVPs that have their day jobs, but their passion in life is their families. But then I would say probably number two is supporting Pocket PC users on their website. If you're ever in Boston, they always have offline group meetings that you can go to. And these are the type of caliber individuals that we're looking for.
In general. Mm-hmm. There's always an exception to the rule, like you accepted me.
Exactly. I mean, definitely, Chris. But we're looking for, and I think you definitely fit that demographic, somebody who...
But really... I mean, I mean this in all honesty. I'm a Windows Media MVP, mm-hmm. but I guess that's not if I had to choose like what kind of MVP I would be, it probably wouldn't be Windows Media. It would be more like just general. If there is a general Microsoft, you know, consumer, you know, whatever. Because yeah, I've got a smartphone. I'm an evangelist of sorts for the Singular 2125. Mm-hmm. I ended up selling that phone to more people and getting no commission from it. But the fact that I'm using this technology, I show people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But my MVP title doesn't necessarily reflect that. Mm-hmm. Where would I place in that universe? Is it still very much going to be where I have to get one particular title of MVP? Or are you looking to expand the program to be more supportive of people who have interests that lie beyond the boundaries of a title?
The program is set up and structured to basically tie you to a specific technology. And we have several MVPs like yourself who have been awarded in a particular category, but are very proficient at other types of technologies. And we're looking at that right now because we can not only benefit from the feedback that they can provide us, but that gives them broader recognition with that MVP award to... you know, take that and propagate that across multiple technologies. So it's something that we're definitely looking at. We're having conversations. We're very cognizant of that. And I think in the near future, you'll see some changes. But the way things stand right now is we're looking for a general proficiency in one core technology, and then we're going to expand out from there.
See, because, if I had a choice, I would not be... anything but maybe like somewhere in the area of software, consumer software. Because mm-hmm. like I'm like at Windows and UI, anything that deals with UI, whether it's web UI or like especially software UI, I'm just a stickler about, and I hammer so hard. In fact, it was rather reassuring, not through the MVP program, but there's another program for some Windows enthusiasts for around Windows Vista, and they let us look at earlier builds, and we gave them feedback, and I noticed a couple of the things that they demonstrated at CES were the things that I had brought up in earlier meetings, and it was told to me that you were the one who catalyzed that feature. And it was just really, really cool to see that stuff.
And historically, there have been, like you mentioned, MVPs across the MVP program that have been able to take advantage of different groups, interactions. I don't know if I'm talking out of turn, but my understanding is that the MVP program has access to the Office beta, mm-hmm. And there's MVPs in different groups that can get access to that as well, if the group is looking to solicit feedback from a broader scope. But what happens is the product groups have a very good relationship with the MVPs, and so if they're going to go a little bit wider, the first place they're going to look is the additional MVPs that we can bring online to help them.
So let's shift gears slightly before here, and you kind of glossed over it, but I want to get to it. You were at another company, what used to be just an absolutely gigantic company with the Holstein theme, Gateway, or yes. What used to be Gateway 2000 when I first learned about them.
Yes.
And they dropped the 2000.
I was with Gateway for about 5 years, actually.
Doing what?
Various sales roles, and finished actually as a general manager of sales for the retail line, Gateway Country. In a couple different locations. I was in Olympia, Washington. I was also in Salt Lake City, Utah. Also interacted during the Olympic Games in 2002. Hmm. Gateway was the hardware sponsor for the Olympic Games.
Why can't I get a hardware sponsor for GNOME Decks? I've been trying for that, but no one just, they don't care. They don't care about the geeks.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know, the hardware business is a hard business right now.
I believe it.
We all know. So.
Well, that was the ironic part. When you came here, I was going through the process of ordering a new computer, which is going to be mine temporarily, then it's going to get passed off to Ponzi. Mm-hmm. And I've been looking at computers, shopping online, like, do I get a Dell? No, because their service sucks. And, like, I really don't feel good about their brand right now. And then I thought about building a Falcon Northwest, but they're kind of overpriced. I'm not a huge gamer. And it's like, well, which do I go with? And I talked to a friend this afternoon, and I was telling him, I was lamenting the fact that I want to get a new computer, but I want to wait for Intel to release the Conroe line. Because AMD, yeah, I know, it's a good alternative processor, but I've always been an Intel guy. And never had issues with them at all, with their hardware, software. Well, the software, definitely, I've had problems with their Intel desktop accelerator. What do they call it? I think that's what it's... There's some accelerator program that they use, a drive accelerator or a disk accelerator.
I typically left the hardware to Intel, and anything that was software related, I looked other directions.
Very wise. So a friend basically said, I just ordered some gateways, and they didn't have like huge problems, but they said they got to support right away, and they spoke English. And I realize that sounds funny, but to be able to be routed to someplace in Wyoming, which is where they were routed through, versus someplace in India. Not to say, you know, outsourcing or India is all that bad, but it's usually easier when you can communicate to someone that can understand your inflections and exactly what's going on, exactly what's happening. He was very impressed with the service and support. So I got on the Gateway's website and realized that they have a new, I think it's the FX510 XL series, which has got the new Intel 965 chipset, which is the brand new, like the last Pentium 4 Extreme Edition that they're going to release before they release Conroe. And I'm so frustrated with this current machine, I just had to do something, and I knew Ponzi would never see the benefits of it. 4 gigabytes of RAM, this high-end processor, which does pretty well in the benchmarks that matter to me, which isn't so much the PC gaming side, but more on the multimedia side. That's what I do most of. All the just amazing terabyte hard drives. It was only over $4,000. I'm like, this is an unbelievable deal. And this guy said the service is good. I'm like, I'll get, you know, the on-site service and all that crap. So I was like, all right, so I'll get on the web and I'll just talk to this guy. I'll just use the web chat thing. Because it says right there, live web chat. So I get on there. I'm like, I've configured the system. I got online. I was looking for some coupons. Couldn't find any coupons. You got any discounts for me? I just asked. And I'm going to post this web chat, you know, on the web so that everybody can see what I went through. So hopefully either he's going to make a lot of money or Gateway's going to be awfully mad at me.
Right.
One of the two. Which will they be?
It depends. It sounds like you got a pretty good deal. So may be some trepidation. I don't want to steal your thunder.
No. But. The deal I got – well, you're right because you saw it. You walked in and I'm negotiating with a guy. It wasn't really that much of a negotiation. It wasn't a real hard sell. I said I really wanted to get closer to $4,000, and after I configure tax and overnight shipping and all this other stuff, then it ends up being closer to, you know, like $5,000 after everything. And I was like, I really don't feel comfortable with that. And he said, well, what would it take to get you to be a customer? And I said, you know what? Get it closer to this and we'll be good. And I said, if you can configure it at the base price with everything included, you've got a deal. And so I ended up saving, I want to say, close to $800 to $1,000 on a machine.
So you got the used car vibe, but you saved
$800 to $1,000.
Exactly. So I guess that's okay,
$800 or more on a high-end desktop machine. And this is I think it's their BTX case, so it's got good airflow and it's relatively quiet and whatnot. And the hardware seems to be standard hardware, you know, and I got the 4-year or 3-year warranty or whatever the heck it is. So, and it's not going to get, like, you know, heavy use because it'll be, you know, Ponzi's relatively soon. But I ended up saving $800 by chatting with the guy on the web through Gateway. Does that happen all that often?
Being in the face-to-face sales organization, we essentially were competing with the web.
Mm.
And yeah, there was some very stiff competition from time to time because chances are you could pick up the phone and talk to somebody. And so he knew that he had a very captive audience and he was going to do whatever he could. A, you're looking at a high-end system. You're not calling about the $499 free monitor, free printer system. You're looking at a high-end system. And so they definitely are going to... and we did this a lot. Make some adjustments, if we can call them.
Could I have gotten more out of him? Is that what you're saying?
I think he probably took it down. I mean, that's a pretty big discount.
Yeah.
And not being privy to what the current discounting policies are at Gateway, if this was a couple of years ago, I would say it's right down to the bone. You should be pretty happy. And, you know, I've got to say, I've never met Chris before. Come into his house, and within about 3 minutes of being in his home after the initial introductions were made, I'm with him at his PC. We're looking at this thing. We're configuring it, and I could just feel the excitement coming from Chris with his new purchase. Not because, I mean, yes, it's a high-end system, so there's that certain, you know, yes, I'm getting the greatest system on the planet right now feeling, but he was also getting a good deal, too. So I think that says a lot to what Gateway's willing to do to bring in their customers and hopefully grow a little bit of market share, because being an ex-Gateway employee, I still definitely believe in the company. I think they're a great organization, and I think they make a great product, so you should be very happy.
Yeah, but the only thing that a few things have me worried. They always have me worried. The hardware quality, the support, mm-hmm. And I mean certainly their acquisition of eMachines has me a little, you know, a flavin.
Sure.
That was my Jerry Lewis right there, or Professor Frink if you're a Simpsons fan.
I'll give you a B- on your imitation.
You haven't seen my airline instructional safety video, have you?
Actually, I caught part of it on your blog.
Oh, really?
The other night. Yes.
So you did see it.
I was doing my homework before I came up.
What kind of idiot am I going? Who am I representing here? Oh my God, that's what you saw.
Yes, the seat buckle when you were pulling it really tight. That was a nice effect. Yeah. So
I happen to like the emergency evacuation part the best. That's where I lost it when Ponzi started laughing. I just couldn't. When she would laugh, that's when I would laugh. I'm like, stop it! Don't laugh, because we only have one take.
Yeah, so I'm watching that, actually, not to get off topic, but I was watching that with my laptop while I'm getting ready for bed, and my wife was already, she's probably 15, 20 minutes ahead of me, half asleep, and so she could hear you, and she's like, what are you doing? Like, what have you found? And so it was kind of a funny little side note story for you.
That's nice. That's nice to know. Okay, so the side note, Gateway, the service support, hardware quality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Am I getting a good machine here? You think?
Well, I mean, you can definitely tell that, you know, if Gateway's going to release a BTX machine, Gateway has always been very good at releasing leading-edge technology. Where they haven't been good is selling the value of that, like maybe Apple has done, to their end users. It's my opinion, in the PC world, we think about the cheapest price we can possibly get, and we've been fed that by Dell. And so it warms my heart when you say that Dell's service and support sucks.
Oh, dude.
Because for years, we fought against that.
I know.
And it was not only that we knew they had worse support, but they would be able to sell a box cheaper than us because of their manufacture process. So it warms my heart that somebody's actually buying a PC because of the case.
Now, when we're talking about the case, could you explain to the people who may not be familiar with BTX if you know that much about it?
So the BTX case is designed partly by Intel with a new motherboard standard, but also to give a higher-end PC better cooling capability and quieter running operation. If you've bought a PC, an AMD, or a high-end Intel, and the fans kick on in a quiet room, you definitely know that it's there. So the concept around BTX is essentially allow better cooling through the case, and so the case was designed from the ground up with that in mind. So things are in different spots. If you look at this case, you're going to be like, is this thing upside down or is it on its side? But BTX was actually designed with that concept in mind, adding to performance, but also not only performance, being able to live with the PC in the same room as you.
So that's very, very nice. It seems very, very nice. I don't know how it's going to expand at this point in time, because it seems like it's pretty jam-packed, and I didn't get it with a tuner card. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even think about it. I was like, you know, I'm probably not going to use it for the tuner card, personally.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for HD and all that stuff, and I've got, you know, DVRs out the wazoo everywhere else in my house.
Sure.
So it's not a huge deal. So BTX, is that a Gateway-only thing, or?
No, it's actually an industry standard.
Okay.
Gateway is one of the only adopters of that technology.
See, that's why I hadn't even seen or heard. In fact, I can tell you, though, going through the process of configuring the Gateway, it was somewhat of a pain in the ass, because they'd always try to upsell different options, and if you didn't hit the check mark the right way, then you got the McAfee 6 months of virus scan and all that crap, which is really frustrating, and I understand why they do it. Mm-hmm. But they had some nice diagrams of how the BTX, the airflow, and it would what that means to you in the sense of sound as well as efficiency of hardware, like your hard drive reliability, you know, all the way through to processor. Mm-hmm. The way they place it, so it seemed like a relatively unique experience. I wouldn't have even looked at Gateway as more just kind of like, you know, I've dismissed them in recent years. I really have, and largely just because of feel and mind share, they just kind of lost it. But now Dell's kind of lost it too. Mm-hmm. And there's no leader, really.
It's been interesting, because I remember when Compaq was the computer
giant. Oh, yeah.
And
before the acquisition.
Right. And then it was Gateway for a while, and those were great years for us. I mean, we were the number one. Everybody wanted us, and we were a great company. And when that happened, unfortunately, we got concerned with things like profit margins on every box that we sold, and how can we maybe remove this parallel port that we don't think people need anymore because this new USB technology came out. But what we didn't realize is maybe there was users out there that had an old printer they wanted to hook up. And little by little, we began to erode our customer base by cutting corners on parts and cutting corners on case design and chassis. And by the time that we realized that, it maybe was too late. People had already decided, wait a minute, there's this new kid on the block, and it's Dell, and their service is great, and they're growing, and we're no longer going to buy Gateway. So we had this huge exodus, and Dell was there basically undercutting us on price because they could build the cheaper box to Dell, and we lost that market share. And so Dell, I think they've experienced their period of rapid growth, and now it'll be interesting to see what happens. Because their support is eroding, and they're building a cheaper box, and they're running into the same thing that Compaq did, that Gateway did, and now Dell is making the same mistake. So it'll be interesting to see how they recover from that.
So do you think Gateway has sprung back from those mistakes? I mean, in the sense, not in the general market sense. Like I said, I think their mind share is next to zero. But in terms of building a better product.
So their model's interesting. Gateway is their premium brand, where eMachine is their cost alternative.
Loser.
Their distribution model.
What? I'm sorry.
Their distribution model, the country store, the Gateway country store, no longer exists, which is a shame in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you could go in and get service and support right there from Gateway.
Yeah, and you could feel it. You could actually walk up to a laptop and say, "Oh, this is what I'm getting." Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really did appreciate having a Gateway store when you guys had them.
Yeah, you were talking to a Gateway employee, somebody that probably had a 401k with Gateway stock, and you weren't in Best Buy with a kid that was maybe in college making minimum wage, just trying to get through, and he didn't really care what system he sold you as long as it was the system that his manager wanted him to sell you.
As an aside, and then we'll get back to where you think Gateway is, I used to work at Best Buy. I almost got fired because I refused to sell anything but the HP machines because I thought the other ones were crap. And they said, you need to sell more of X, Y, and Z. I'm like, but people return the Packard Bells and this particular Compaq. They said, we realize that there's a higher RMA or whatever the hell the acronym was, but that doesn't mean that blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, it does, because ultimately it's my name and my face and their memory of me selling a POS. So I was in that position, if selling that, if no commission or anything like that. But I know exactly what you're talking about, because other people would. They didn't care.
So now you can go into Best Buy and pick up a Gateway. I think that's good for the company. I think it's bad for the customer experience, unless you know what you're looking for. It could be very easy to fall into the wrong box because you're being sold something rather than maybe qualified into something and really know what you're getting.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I like about ordering on the web, because I can a la carte something. Like I, in fact, when I looked at the system, when I go to configure something just for fun, I'll usually just go for the top-end system and then from there. Well, when I configured this, what was it, FX510XL, I think is the model number for the Gateway, it said by default it was the new 965 Intel Pentium Extreme Edition, which is like it does pretty well. It's not fast in FPU, but it's good at CPU intensive tasks. But right out of the box, right in that package that started at like $4,000, it's like 4 gigs of RAM. Out of the box, you couldn't configure less. It was 4 gigs of RAM. I'm like, who's selling 4 gigs of RAM in machines these days? That's unbelievable.
That's the XL system, and the XL system has not changed since I was a Gateway. We would put together the top of the line, whatever we could put in the box, and we would call it the XL. And we had a repetitive customer base that every year, 2 years, they would buy the XL because it was the best.
Go ahead.
So that is still there.
Oh, dude,
that hasn't changed. So
I would. My computer buying history is long and long and long, but I remember I was around in the days of Zeos and Micron and Gateway, long before Dell was roaming the planet. And having gone to school in Iowa, there were a lot of Gateway machines, or at that point, Gateway 2000 machines. I had never. This was really the first Gateway machine that I've bought. I did pick up a laptop and had it for like a day, and something about it was annoying me. and I took it. I can't remember what it was, but it was just annoying me. And in fact, I think it was just something absolutely stupid. But I got it at a Gateway store, took it back, no problem, no muss, no fuss. But I've never owned a Gateway anything. I've known people who have, but even back then, they were speed demons. They were very fast. They were built very, very solid, good stuff. But this is my first one.
And I think if you walk into any large company and you find the IT guy, that IT guy probably ordered Gateway 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And probably has this feeling, this warm feeling in his heart. Yeah, I used to order Gateways. But then right after that, the question is, whatever happened to them?
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
So what is Gateway? I mean, I realize, you know, you're at Microsoft now, but you've got a, you know, 5 years history with Gateway. What are they doing with that? I mean, are they planning on doing any kind of, they had the running commercial for a while where people were running with boxes. It was kind of cute. Not as cute as the new Apple PC commercials, but which are hilarious if you haven't seen them. The one with the virus one is just, I was on the floor laughing.
Run. I caught the one on the Mac website. Just briefly, where the two guys are talking.
You got to watch them.
You know, I was like, what do you do with your PC? Oh, I got a clock. You
know, yeah, so. I got a calculator. Oh, so. Calculator. That's nice.
Interesting.
So. No, the virus one is that's the pièce de résistance. That's the one to watch.
I will check it out.
What do you think Gateway's doing? I mean, are they going to do anything to reinvigorate their brand and really bring it back so that they can say, hey, look, you know, these guys are sucking. This is what we can do.
So, an interesting development, and I apologize because I didn't do my homework on this before I came.
Oh, you didn't know that I was going to.
But Wayne Inoue, who was the CEO during the merger with eMachines, ironically had a history with Best Buy, has stepped down as CEO. And there is a new CEO, and I was actually looking through my annual report that I got a couple weeks ago in the mail, and I'm remiss because I cannot remember his name. I want to say Todd something, but he's old school Gateway, and he stepped back into the role, and that was exciting for me because somebody that has been there during that period of growth and when Gateway was number one is back at the helm now. Ted Waite, the founder, is unfortunately no longer involved with Gateway. And I think that is unfortunate because he had definitely a cult status within our organization.
Oh, yeah. Well, even the old literature that we used to get was pretty – it was fun. I mean, it really was fun to look at.
Ted was an amazing guy. He was an amazing leader and added a very human element to an organization and a company.
That's true.
I remember in our in one of our sales rooms, we had the – of course, like every company does, the core values. And in these core values, we actually had Ted's grandma as the poster child for these values. And I think it was honesty or something. And she was, you know, kind of shaking her finger. I mean, what company does that?
Yeah.
You know, puts Ted's grandma on the poster. So, but that was good news that, I'm going to have to look his name up on the web. I feel bad that I forgot it. But there's somebody.
Well, you don't work there anymore, so it's not like you run the risk of getting fired.
This is true. Definitely true. So no quizzes on my new employer because I probably am not as well versed as I should be at this point to speak to anything. But that was nice to see that somebody old school Gateway is back at the helm. And I definitely would wish them the best in the future and hope that they succeed and they continue to take some market share back from the 800-pound gorilla.
You know, they need to do something because Dell, literally, I mean, when I was going through, because every once in a while, I've had this machine. I built this machine, like, on my own. It was about 3 or 4 years ago. So this isn't like, when hyper-threading first came out, mm-hmm. like, this was at least 4 years ago. Hyper-threading had just come out.
That feels about right, yeah.
Yeah.
3 or 4 years ago.
And so that's the machine that I have in there. You know, it's relative. I mean, of course, we're still in that Pentium level of architecture, and so that's why I was waiting. I was like, well, I'll wait till this, I'll wait till that, I'll keep waiting, and so indefinitely I've held it off, but now it's getting to the point where I'm just feeling the crunch. Mm-hmm. I mean, with multimedia applications and, you know, trying to run three things at one time, it was fine, but now I just feel like there's got to be something faster, there has to be something better. And so with SATA, level 2, 300, or is it, no, SATA 300, SATA 2 300.
300, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I was getting the numbers transposed. You know, the newer Intel's, you know, faster RAM, more RAM, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now with the recent announcement of Microsoft pushing back Vista even further, I'm like, I'm not going to wait. I can't wait anymore. It's like, I might as well just jump in now, knowing that I'm getting a pretty good machine, and that Ponzi is going to inherit, you know, a month from now when Intel releases something that I think I would be much happier with as an enthusiast. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with a pretty good price, you know, Intel just recently slashing everything because they're getting ready for the new stuff.
Sure.
Gateway made a pretty compelling argument.
It's always a good time to buy, and definitely I think that's, I mean, of course, again, you're looking at a high-end machine,
yeah.
So there should be some wiggle room.
Well, I'd hope. Here's the thing, and I realize people are saying, well, why did you get it now? Why? It's like, well, number one, because I can. It's a pretty good price for a fast machine, and it's going to go to Ponzi. And Ponzi, you know, she'll run Excel, you know, a Picasa, and a couple other things, but she's just not a power user. Mm-hmm. So I know that this is going to be good for me in the interim, and I'm also going to be able to give it to her as a, you know, and know that it's going to be a solid machine. And if it works out well, then my next machine may very well be through Gateway. If I really like the process that I'm going through now, and now I have a direct line to a sales guy who I know he can give me some pretty good deals. So, mm-hmm.
And let's hope he's still there when.
Exactly. He doesn't get fired
on the blog.
Well, he said, now I don't know how much of this is true, but he said I have to talk to my supervisor or whatever, and so he went away and he talked to his supervisor. How does that work exactly in that web sales process? If you know.
My experience with that is that his supervisor, I mean, there's a certain point that they can go over on discounts. They have set programs for discounts. And it sounds like they were very creative in applying maybe a program discount for X company or something into your system. Or they could have just gone in and said, hey, this is where we are at with margin on this system, and this is where we want to be, and we need the volume, so let's go ahead and grab the business. So I wouldn't say that each individual sales rep that you're chatting with has the discretion to do that, and so yes, that's natural that a manager was involved in the decision-making process, because I guarantee you the sales rep doesn't have visibility to what profit and loss is on that system. That's going to be at least one rung up on the ladder to take a look at that. So.
Well, when I initiated the process, it asked me my name, and my email address and my phone number. I was like, all right. So then I get and I'm going to be posting this on the web so you'll be able to see it. I get connected with the guy, and it says, hi, Chris Perillo, you know, because that was the name I typed in, obviously. You know, this is the service, blah, 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 blah. May I please have your first name and last name? I'm like, wait a minute. You greeted me with, hi, Chris Perillo, so you obviously know my first name and last name. I said, but for argument's sake, my first name happens to be Chris. My last name happens to be Perillo. Ironically enough.
Hi, automated script. What is your first name and last
name? Yeah, exactly. It just seemed like an oversight that they would want to fix.
Another example of how technology can benefit us and kind of make us laugh at ourselves, too. Right?
It had me worried when that chat started. I'm like, oh, God, how is this going to go? And I really wasn't expecting anything. I just asked him straight up, point blank. I'm like, do you have any discounts or offers? Because right now the only thing they had going was some lame, like, get a photo printer that was worth $50 with a free rebate. I'm like, no.
Right.
I'm not into the whole extra hardware thing unless it's a really good deal.
Yeah, that's so 1999. When are they going to figure out that people don't want a free printer?
But that's me and you. What about my mom and dad who just think, ooh, that's great, I can get a printer for... But here's the thing. The printer is a gateway drug for ink. Because ink costs much more, or the toner or whatever, the stuff that prints, that's worth more than the printer itself. The printer you can give away. You just sell the ink.
So you bring up a good point, and I don't work for Gateway anymore, so I can talk about this. I'll be interested to see if you have the Gateway ink monitor installed on your computer when it comes.
Really?
This is a very interesting thing that Gateway pre-installed on all the computers. And it's funny because I actually reloaded my tablet PC last night.
But it had the ink monitor thing installed?
Yeah, the ink monitor. Well, I'm like, ink monitor? I don't have a printer hooked up,
oh,
you know?
Oh, my God.
And the weird thing was, is this thing would do a little pop-up window for you next to your clock, and it'd say, your ink is low. Well, the problem was, is not everybody hooked up a printer, and somehow the app didn't really know if you had a printer. So randomly, hi, your ink is low. And of course, conveniently, there was a link to gateway.com where you could reorder your ink, because we all know that ink is where you make your money.
That's right.
Huge profit. So not only was it a running joke, but it became a bit of a customer service nightmare, because we get people calling saying, I just put new ink cartridges. I've printed 3 pages. How can my ink be low? Oh, don't listen to that thing. It's the Gateway ink monitor. Why shouldn't I listen to it?
Oh, man.
Right. So it'll be interesting. You're going to have to report back to us on that to see if the infamous Gateway ink monitor is still alive and draining the pocketbooks of American consumers.
My sales guy did ask. He said, did you want the antivirus package? Because I had unchecked it. He said, did you want the antivirus package installed? I said, no. I don't want any. If you can, bare bones it. I'm going to wipe the thing anyway with my own Media Center edition.
Highly recommended, because anytime you buy a machine from an OEM, it's typically loaded.
Toolbars and crap.
Free stuff.
Icons. And
they get paid to throw on there, but you've Swiss cheesed your operating system.
Yeah, so. And that's the first thing. I mean, that's the nice thing about being an MVP too, getting back to that full circle here, is that I have a choice of subscription packages. So I have an MSDN subscription, so I have an unlimited amount of... so I could easily wipe it. I mean, it's a Media Center PC, but I'm like, well, I'm never going to use the Media Center qualities of it. I just wipe it and usually put on Pro. And it's just watching for the drivers. That's the only thing I'm not sure about is the driver support. Although the drivers look pretty basic. Since I got a RAID system, I've never messed with RAID before, so I just have to make sure I have all the right drivers installed and whatnot.
I think it's hardware, so it's on the motherboard, so it should be pretty easy to do.
Oh, okay. So, well, hopefully.
I don't think it's I don't think it would be software. I think that's a native on the Intel. We always use the Intel reference boards, and that's what it looks like you got in your system.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be hard to figure out at all.
It's kind of nice when, like I said, the ironic part, you worked for Gateway. I'm sitting here ordering a Gateway machine right when you walk in the door. And this was, I swear to God, not planned. So not planned. And you're saying, go to the support, look up this, look up that. And they actually have cutaways of what the machine looks like on the inside. And it looks pretty cluttered. But the BTX case says it's airflow and all that stuff. So that's ultimately... you know, the big win for me. I seldom, if I upgrade anything in a machine, it might be a sound card, but I don't see the big benefits or the video card. Those are the two things. So I don't anticipate adding anything. Ever since the advent of USB, that everything I've added has been external. And this thing has got a media reader on it. It's got plenty of USB ports and the whole kit and caboodle. So I'm like, well, I don't feel like I would need to install anything anyway. I never get on the inside of a PC other than to blow out crap
dust
every once in a while. Yeah.
Dust bunnies.
They still haven't figured out how to make that happen, you know, automatically. A lot of people miss up on that.
Yeah. I think they have some kind of a filter they could put on over the fan.
You'd think.
And, you know. This is a $4,000 computer in your case. Can I get a filter on my fan, please?
No, apparently not.
No, not going to happen.
Well, we'll see how well it goes. I'm going to try support just to give them a call, just to give them a shot to see how well it works. I'll figure something out. I'll go through. I can't get my Google to work. How do I get my Google?
How do I get the internet on this thing? Where's the internet?
Oh boy, just click on this icon. Oh, I heard about that Firefox thing. How's that go? Not to offend anybody who uses Firefox or sounds a lot like what I'm trying to sound like. But anyway, so I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to see if Gateway is indeed a company that's worth talking about.
I would be interested in a follow-up on your support experience and how loud the case actually is.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's the big thing is, like, I really want to see if it's a good machine. And if it is a good machine, I will be telling people because people are frustrated with Dell. They don't know who to go with. I don't want to build my own because I'm that kind of guy. I mean, I could, but it's like, well, by the time I do, it's a pain in the ass. Then you got to track this, that, and the other. And it's like, you know what? Go to someone who's put it together. They know it's going to work. They've figured it all out. We're done. It's a done deal. If things are fine the first week and then the first month, then I'm sure things will be fine for the long haul.
That's typically the case.
Yeah. Inside the case, too.
Sure.
Or outside the case.
No pun intended.
Right. So is there anything else you wanted to say about the MVP program before we wrap it up?
Just that as you're going out and you're looking at blogs, you'll see posts in news groups. You'll see the MVP logo, and I think people will begin to understand, get a little bit more visibility to what that is.
Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.